This week on the Time Bat Show,
you have to mail a disease to someone. How are you going to do it?
This is going to sound really stupid. I would get the disease and then I would like sneeze into the envelope.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 124. I'm one of your hosts, Time Asis.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And we have a hell of a show today. Hell of a show, don't you think?
Greatest ever, for sure.
Greatest ever. Like, one of, if not the best, then one of them, for sure, certainly. So, how are you this week, Bat Snacks? You've had a break this week. You've had off, like, all week.
Yes.
Meanwhile, I've been working like a norm, like a schlub.
How's work?
It's fine. I'm curious what you've been doing to entertain yourself over this week of no work.
I'm a really boring person, I think, but I like the things that I do.
So tell me what you're doing.
They'll probably sound really lame.
No, I want to hear it.
So every day, mm-hmm. I've been going to the YMCA to sit in the sauna.
See, that sounds pretty great.
It is.
I've never been to a sauna before. I don't think.
It's a really intense experience. So usually I can only stay in for 15 minutes at a time because mm-hmm. it's like so hot.
Yeah.
So what I do is I go in for 15 minutes, hop in the pool or take mm-hmm. a cold shower, then go back in for 15 minutes.
Oh, you like double it up.
Yeah. And what I've found is that when I go in that sauna, I feel really good during the day.
Like you're energized?
Not energized, but it kind of gets rid of some of my like bad juju.
Yeah, no, I got you. Like anxiety goes away a little bit. You feel soothed and relaxed.
Yeah, I feel pretty calm and soothed.
I should do that.
And it's nice.
You know what you should do before you go back? When you go back to work, just every morning. Go to the sauna.
I've thought about this because it opens. The YMCA opens in time for me to go to the sauna in the morning.
Have a quick sauna and then go to work.
It's something I've thought about. Mm-hmm. We'll see if I can actually put that into practice because I don't like waking up early.
Yeah, I don't think I would be able to do that because there's no saunas near me. But if there were, I would do it. You know, every workplace, if I think about this, should have a sauna on like the first floor.
They should.
So employees can go in 15 minutes early, have a quick sauna, and then go to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think there's a lot that goes along with that, too, though, because you need, like, lockers to put your stuff in.
You need to change your clothes.
You can't, like, take your phone in the sauna.
Yeah, there's, like, a nakedness factor in there.
There's some weirdness.
It doesn't really work with, like, working conditions.
Yeah.
Like, what if you saw your boss in the sauna, like, with you? Like, that's really awkward.
And he's just like, hey.
Are you ready for the day? And you're like, yep. And he's like, got a big meeting today. And you're like, yep. We sure do. Did you prepare for that meeting? And you're like, yep, sure did. Yeah, that might have the opposite effect. That might stress me out more. It's like, oh God, maybe I have to.
I really don't want to go in there. There's no telling what will happen.
Yeah, who's in the sauna today? It could be my boss. It could be my manager. Oh, that would be bad. You know, like the president of the company is there and he's like, hey.
Yeah. He's visiting that day, and he just happened to stop in the sauna.
Right? No, this is good. Okay, like, you know how people say, like, people that go on smoke breaks together, like, they, like, get to know each other, like, really fast because they're, like, smokers or whatever?
Yeah, it's so, a like, secret club.
It's a secret club. Mm-hmm. So, like, if this, like, if the CEO of a company took a smoke break and then you, like, a lowly underling took a smoke break with him, it's like, whoa, or her, you know, it's like, whoa, you, like... Getting in on like the ground floor. I bet it's the same thing with saunas.
You know, I bet it is because so similar to smoking, like you're there for a set period of time mm-hmm. and there's nothing for you to do while you're there.
Right? You're sitting.
Yeah.
So you can talk to whoever's there.
Yeah.
And if it happens to be like you're the president of the company, he could probably tell you about his dog or something, you know?
Yeah, and you can be receptive and create kind of a really good relationship.
And then he's like, "What's your name, son?" And you're like, "Blah blah blah." And he's like, "Good to know your work for my company." And you're like, "Thanks, sir.
Thanks.
This is my dream."
That's something I really miss about smoking when I used to. I haven't in a while, but like when you smoke, like you're part of the secret club.
See, yeah. I've never smoked, but I've always wondered if the secret club was a thing.
It is.
It is. It is the thing you're telling me that it is, for sure.
No, it really is. Because, like, after you're part of the club, people will walk, they'll walk up to you and be like, "Hey, can I use your lighter?" Because they know you have one.
And then you're like, "Oh, I'm going to take a break, too, actually."
Yeah.
And then you go out with them and you, like, shoot the shit or whatever, right?
Yeah. And it's kind of an unwritten rule that you don't talk about, you know, work while you're out there doing that. It's kind of, you have to talk about specific
things. You're on your break. You're on your break. So you're talking about something else. Mm-hmm. You know? Man. I almost want to take up smoking just for that.
Just for... If just only there were a way to make it not kill you.
Just for the club. Isn't it weird that it's specifically smoking, though? Like, no other things that, like, at work or in life are really like that to the same degree, you know? I think maybe smoking works because, like, if someone's taking a smoking break, especially at work, that time is delineated as this is a non-work break time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, you're talking to people about specifically not work things. So maybe that's why it's, like, a secret club, because it's like, oh, the conversation is specifically non-work. So you get to know, like, a person in a different context, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there's also kind of this, like, everybody knows they shouldn't smoke. Like, it's not been a secret for a long time. So you kind of share in this weird shame, too, and you bond over
it. But kind of respect, too. Like, I see you doing a stupid thing. I'm doing the stupid thing, too.
Yeah.
It's almost like smoke breaks at work are like mini hangouts with people. Like, because normally you'd invite someone out for a beer and have a beer for like an hour. But smoking is like a fast track to that, right? It's just like, oh, I'm getting to do this for 5 minutes with this guy in like a mini segment at work. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Probably every day, too.
Yeah, and then you probably get to know someone real fast from that. Because like 5 minutes a day, every day, that stacks up.
Yeah, and even when you go to like concerts or conventions or whatever, there's always like the smoking group.
And you can probably, you know... And it's weird because you're at a concert and you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to talk to anyone. Like, you know, I don't know anyone here. But if you go to the smoke break people, it's like, oh, we already have a common ground. We like the same music and we smoke. That's two things we can already start talking about.
Yeah.
You know, you're on the fast track to friendship right there. We should invent. Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, yeah. So I've been going to the sauna. But yeah, we should invent something that you can do.
Mm-hmm. That's like smoking and also like going to the sauna that like fast tracks you to like get to know someone really fast that you wouldn't normally get to know.
But I don't
know what it would be.
Like how do you do that though?
Smoking is like what you do when you work in a kitchen to get to know people really fast or like, you know, food service or whatever. And then sauna, I feel like is something you do when you're like an older man that like works in an office, you know, that's your track to get to know people really fast. We need like a middle ground where like, you know, you're in like your normal, you're in like your 30s. You've got like a regular career. You know, you're not smoking anymore because you don't smoke and you don't work in a kitchen or whatever. And you're also not old, so you don't go to sauna.
Yeah.
So, like, there needs to be, like, a middle ground where you have that avenue.
Yeah. There needs to be a special location where you do it that's kind of sealed off from everywhere else. I just don't know what else there can be.
Is this a work thing? Would this be, like, a thing you do at work?
Yeah, probably.
So it'd be, like, a work break.
I had this idea for, do you know those fidget spinner things?
Yes. I was about to say something similar to this, but go ahead.
So my idea was, it's similar to a fidget spinner. It's a miniature pen type thing. And in the pen, there's a turbine, and you suck in on the turbine, and it causes it to whirl. It goes
zzzz. Yeah.
And makes it, like, cool noise.
Sure.
And it, like, heats up because it creates energy.
Sure.
And I thought that would be a neat, like, kind of fidget toy that adults would enjoy. People so that have that oral fixation. So would you,
like, go on breaks or whatever? Like, I gotta take my fidget break. And you, like, go...
You're all standing around, like...
You're all doing the thing. And then the smokers are, like, the other side, and they're, like, looking at you, like, look at those idiots. Look at what they're doing over there. That would work, though. I've got to go on my fidget break.
Yeah.
It probably calms you down, you know? You're like, I need to release some energy, so this is what I do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. We need an... I don't know. We need something like that. If you've got an idea, listener, send us your thoughts at TimeBatsHow on the Twitter.
Yeah. It could be a big thing.
Because I think we need that. I think we need a middle ground between smoking and going to the sauna.
Yeah.
Something. So when you go to the sauna, let me ask you. Do you see a lot of old people there?
It's mostly old people.
And you.
And me.
Do they ever strike up a conversation with you?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Really?
It's actually not comfortable to be inside the sauna. Like, the good feeling doesn't start until afterwards. After you leave.
Yeah. So they're talking to you in there.
You're in there, like, suffering, and you kind of... It helps to have a conversation to pass the time.
Really?
Yeah.
So do they start talking to you, or do you talk to them?
I don't usually... start the conversation, but
talk to you.
Usually, like, someone will come in, either make a joke about how hot it is or whatever. And
is that the classic sauna
that's
line?
The classic, like, woo, it's hot enough. Or no, so there's like a hot corner of the sauna, and it's like the good place to be. And if you're sitting there and someone comes in, sometimes they'll be like, "Ooh, I see you got the hot corner today."
I love how there's, like, secret sauna humor. Like, that just makes me happy. Oh, they got the hot corner. They're a sauna pro. They know what's going on here.
Yeah.
Oh. So do you enjoy talking to these old men in the sauna?
It's so-so. Sometimes a lot of them want to talk about politics, and that's not really my thing. I
don't want to do this, yeah.
But other than that, it's cool. Okay.
Interesting. I'm kind of jealous of your sauna. I want you to find a sauna around here.
Yeah.
And try it at least once. Maybe I'll get up on a Saturday morning and do it, you know, just go. See what it's like.
Yeah. When you come visit, maybe we can go to the sauna. How hilarious would that be?
What if we have our live episode in the sauna?
Okay. We're coming to you live from the sauna.
From the sauna.
In the YMCA.
Well, you could do it. I got that mini recorder.
Yeah.
We've got to bring it into the sauna. The sauna episode of the Time Bat Show. I would do that. The problem is there'd be other people that would come in and they'd be like, what are they doing in the sauna talking about random stuff?
We could go at like at a non-busy time, maybe. I don't know.
Like 8 p.m. sauna
thing.
Sure. There you go. Yeah, I'm coming to visit. Not you. I'm coming to visit my family in a few weeks, but we'll hang out and maybe we'll do a sauna episode.
Yeah, so look forward to that.
That'll be the sauna episode. So you're going back to work next week.
Yeah.
Assuming. So well, I'm sorry. I'm glad you've enjoyed your break, but I'm sorry it's coming to an end.
Yeah, me too.
So let's see. What's the big news in the world today? Well, the elephant in the room is that a giant multi-million dollar movie franchise is coming to an end tomorrow with the latest Avengers movie.
Yes.
It's coming out. And everyone on the internet is very excited. Very excited. Except for you, I think.
Yeah, I don't care.
Because you have not seen any of them or some of them or what?
I think the last superhero movie I saw was Spider-Man 2.
That was in, like, 2004.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen any of the Marvel movies at all?
I think I... No, I don't think I have.
Really?
I saw the X-Men movies. I like those.
Sure, but those don't have anything to do with these movies.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, with that in mind... If you, let's say someone invited you to go see this movie tomorrow or over the weekend or something, and you saw it, you would have no clue what's happening.
I mean, I know who the superheroes are.
You know, like, oh, that's a good guy.
I can be like, that's Professor X. I don't know if he's in
it. He's not in it, no. I love how you think he's in it.
There's Magneto.
None of the X-Men are in it. I just went over this with you.
I know. Don't have anything to do. There's Superman. He's in it, right?
He's not in it. No.
Who's in this movie?
Oh, that's DC. That's a different property. Who do you think is in it? We've eliminated Magneto and Professor X are not in Avengers Endgame, and neither is Superman. Who else do you think is in it?
I'm just thinking about the Super Friends, that old TV show.
Sure.
Maybe, okay, is Nightcrawler in it?
No, he's not in it. He's an X-Men. I told you the X-Men aren't in it. Who else you got?
Isn't Ant-Man is in it?
Yes, I know he's in that. It. How did you get that out of all the heroes in the movie? You zone in on Ant-Man?
Who else would be in? Iron Man is in it. Tony
yep.
Stark.
Yep. How did you know Ant-Man was? Like, since you don't know anything about the movies. Did you see a trailer or something?
I think I saw a trailer.
You saw a picture of Ant-Man. You got Iron Man, you got Ant-Man. You're good. Let's play the game of name all the people in the Avengers movies.
I don't know if I can name any of the other people.
Try to get five. You're at two right now.
Jessica Jones.
Three. Jessica Jones is not in the Avengers movie. What would she even do in the movie?
She would solve a mystery.
During the movie?
Yeah. It's a subplot.
I want to see the Magneto, Professor X, Superman, Jessica Jones movie now. Like, those four are in the movie, and that's it.
Batman's not in it, is he?
Batman is not in the movie. That's a completely different franchise.
Yeah.
You got two. You only need three more. I think you can do this.
Okay, Thor is probably in it.
Thor, you got three.
His brother, Loki.
No, Loki's not in it.
What? Did he die?
I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Okay, well, Loki's...
he died. Yeah, he died.
I don't have anybody else. Green Lantern.
Green Lantern is DC. He hasn't been in a movie in like 10 years, and you think he's in the Avengers.
Doctor Strange.
Oh, see, that's good. Close, but no, he's not in it.
What?
No, he's not. I mean, he was in the last one, but he's not in this one.
Okay. Hulk, right?
Hulk is in it. You're at four now. Yeah, good job.
That's really all I got. Who is in this?
How do you know random? Like, how do you know Ant-Man and Doctor Strange, but you don't know, like, the bigger people? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Because those are just the comics, I guess, that I saw.
That you know? You're like, I love Ant-Man and Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And Jessica Jones. Those are my three favorite comics.
Basically. Is Animal Man in it?
Who's Animal Man?
He's a Grant Morrison comic.
No, Animal Man isn't in it. I don't even know who Animal Man is. Is he Marvel or DC?
I don't know. I think he's Marvel.
I don't know. He's not in it, though.
Okay.
You have one more, and they're like the biggest, other than Iron Man, like they're the biggest superhero in this movie.
Captain America.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, got it.
You did it. You got five.
He's my least favorite superhero. He sucks.
I like Captain America. We can debate why.
What's his superpower? He's what? He's patriotic.
American. He's American. He's an American man. And he's really good at being American. Yeah, Captain America is in the movie. So yeah, you got five. It took you a lot of wrong guesses to get just five. But you got them. And there's like 20 more people in the movie. But yeah. I was nice to you. And I
almost said Storm, but we've already been over
Storm, X-Men. You're just going to name all the X-Men.
Yeah.
Professor X, there's Magneto. I wish they were in the movie, to be fair, but they're not. What do you think? So, given that you haven't seen any Marvel movie, you were about to say something. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just going to say, like, growing up, I always thought the X-Men were the coolest superheroes.
I agree with you. I still think they're the coolest superheroes. And do you have a reason why you think they're the coolest? Because I've thought about this a lot.
I think it might just be because that's what I had. There was also a beat-em-up game that was in arcades where you could play any X-Men
game. Was really good. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think I liked the X-Men. I mean, I liked it as a kid because they were freaking cool. But I think I like them the most now because of the fact that the X-Men stories are always like about something.
more than just heroes and villains. Because it's like, Magneto's a bad guy, but he's kind of like good at the same time. Like, if I was him, I would probably do the same things that he's doing. You know what I mean? So, like, it's more of a gray area where, like, Superman, Batman, Captain America, they all fight, like, evil people that are, like, very evil. And they're just like, yeah, we're bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas the X-Men, I feel like it's more of a gray area, and it has, like, kind of a more thematic thing. Like, it's a more thematic staying power for me because it's like, oh, that's interesting. Like, you know, Professor X is doing this and Magneto's doing that, you know.
Also, in the X-Men, there's that constant theme of, you know, like, being misfits.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I really like connect with that.
Yeah, I connect with that too. You know, and they're the heroes, the misfits, right?
Yeah,
and it's cool that they have one side, the X-Men, that's the misfits trying to make the world a better place for everyone, and the other side of the misfits trying to make the world a better place for misfits only. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is an interesting thing, and. I'm not going to lie. If I was in that situation, I would be on Magneto's team, I think.
Yeah, I probably would be, too. I'm easily influenced by people like Magneto.
Also, he's really cool. Like, you got to give it to him. He's really cool. He's probably the coolest villain in comics, in my opinion. He's super cool, right?
Yeah, and you can tell he spent a lot of time making his power good. Like, when you first hear about Magneto, oh, he has power over metal. It's like, okay, whatever, like...
But he's really trained it up to be, like, super useful. Yeah. Yeah, he's just such a cool character. Anyway, really fast, before we move on to another topic, granted that you don't know anything about the Avengers movies, what do you think, like, give me a really quick plot summary of what you think is happening, like, currently in the Avengers movies, and what the plot of the new movie, upcoming movie is.
Well, I know who the bad guy is. It's the Thanos guy.
Mm-hmm. Purple guy, yep.
And I know that he had to find some stones to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing he found them, and now they have to all...
they have to get them.
They have to get them back, or seal them in a volcano or something.
Seal them in a volcano. What do you think the stones do?
Well, I did... see a little bit of the video game where it's like the Soul Stone, the Time Stone.
Right, Marvel versus Capcom or whatever. Yeah.
So I guess they give you power over reality, maybe.
Yeah, no, it's close. Yeah. But when you get all five together, you can do something big.
Yeah. You can summon the dragon and he'll grant you any wish you want.
It's like Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
You can summon the dragon.
That would be a much more fun
movie if at the end of the first movie Thanos snaps his fingers with the gauntlet and the dragon comes down and he's like, hello, what can I grant you? And all the Avengers are like, no, the dragon, no.
Yeah, Thanos is like, what the hell is this? I didn't want a dragon.
But it's like the exact dragon from Dragon Ball. And then Goku is in the next movie for some reason. Because why wouldn't he be? You know, that's the ultimate crossover right there. Avengers and then Goku.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Right? And then Krillin can be in there too because, you know, he'll like be...
Yeah, you need Superman too. Just because I feel like Goku and Superman need to meet.
And shake hands.
And be like, hey, I like you.
You know what I just thought? Goku is like Japanese Superman.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Goku is to Japan what Superman is here.
Yeah.
Basically, right?
They're both, like, really stupid and...
really strong.
And really strong.
And they both get power from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same. And they both have died, like, a bunch of times and then came back to life because they're not actually dead. You know? And they're from a different planet. They're, like, the same character. I just realized this. They're from a different planet that isn't Earth, but they found their way to Earth. And on Earth, they're, like, really strong. And they get their power from the sun. And they've died a bunch of times and been brought back to life. And, yeah.
Yeah, all their other friends, like, try to fight the bad guy and nothing happens.
and then they come in and just win.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm seeing Avengers Endgame with work tomorrow. So I'll give you my review next episode on the Time Bet Show. How about that?
I'm looking forward to it.
Are you? And you can catch up to any Avengers movies you want, or none of them. That's all.
I'm probably not going to watch them, honestly.
Okay, good. So let's see what... Oh, you know what? Wait, I think it's time for trivia question number one right now.
Oh, cool. So it's trivia time, and your first category is... airlines.
Oh, this is a very specific category. I'm going to take 50-50. That's my lifeline.
Your first question is, the largest in-flight transmission of SARS took place on blank in 2003.
Okay.
Is it A, Korean Air, mm-hmm. B, Air China, mm-hmm. C, British Airways, mm-hmm. or D, Emirates?
Emirates, I think.
Emirates, yeah.
But yeah, I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Korean Air, Air China, British Airways, or Emirates?
Yes.
SARS.
Yeah, the biggest in-flight transmission.
I didn't know SARS was still a thing.
Oh, this was in 2003, so.
Okay. What is SARS? Do you know what it is?
This is probably wrong, but I think it's a disease you get from chickens that hurts your lungs.
Okay, so it's like a respiratory thing.
Yeah.
So if someone coughed on an airline, you could pass SARS around, basically.
I think, yes.
Okay. So my inkling here is China. And the reason I say China is because China's a big-ass country. Going in and out of China is probably the biggest vector for diseases globally, I would think. You know what I mean? Because there's just so many people coming in and going out. So, like, my first thought is China. My second thought would be the British Airways, because that's also a pretty big country, and I think there's a lot of traffic coming in and out of there. So those are my two guesses, but I'm going to do a 50-50. I'm going to use it.
Okay.
You're going to give me both those.
Yes, exactly. It is either Air China or British Airways.
Of course. I shouldn't have told you my second one. all right. I'm going to go with my gut on this one, and that is Air China. Final answer.
You are correct.
Yes. So my hypothesis was correct. It's just biggest, probably, country.
Yes.
And a lot of people going in and out. I don't know what SARS does. Like, is that a deadly thing? Like, will you die if you get SARS?
I think so. It stands for Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome.
That sounds bad.
Yeah.
It's a very evil-sounding disease. SARS.
SARS.
Doesn't it sound really evil? It's really terrible.
Sounds like something you get from Sauron. He gives you SARS.
It does sound like something you get from Sauron. SARS wasn't the thing that people mailed to you, right? That was something else.
No, that's anthrax.
Right. Which is like a powder, or...
I don't really understand how that one works, because I thought it was a disease, but I didn't think you could make a disease powder.
Like, how do you mail a disease to someone? Like, I don't understand that. Do you, like, I don't, like, I don't even know how you'd begin that process. Like,
How would you do it?
Would I mail a disease?
You have to mail a disease to someone. How are you going to do it?
This is going to sound really stupid. I would get the disease, and then I would, like, sneeze into the envelope. That's the only way I know how to do it. What would you do, Mr. Smarty Pants?
So you're, like, you're in your kitchen, and you're sick with this deadly illness, and you're, like, staring at the light in your kitchen to try to make yourself sneeze.
Yep. I'm like, I gotta mail this to the government or whatever. And then I'd sneeze in the envelope, seal it up, and mail it.
That's awesome.
I don't know. How would you do it?
I would... I think I would probably get it, too, and maybe sneeze on a pork chop or something.
Are you mailing a pork chop to somebody? Yes. That's not gonna work. In, like, a package?
Maybe in a plastic bag.
So you mail someone a pork chop in a plastic bag.
And they'll open it for some reason.
They'll be like, oh, pork chops, let me open this plastic bag. This isn't sketchy. I feel like mine is less sketchy. Like, because they're going to be curious. It's just an envelope, and they'll open it and then receive the sneeze, you know?
Yes.
Yours, they have to open a box, see a plastic bag with a pork chop in it, and decide, let me open this plastic bag with a pork chop, which is probably rotten by the time it gets to them.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know how you do it.
I like where you're going with this, though. It is. I'm legitimately curious how they mailed anthrax. I feel like it's something to do with like a powder or something. That's what I always assumed it was, but I don't know how it spread. So I have no idea. Like I always thought it was a powder that they like put in the mail, and then when you opened it, the powder would go into the air, and they would like inhale it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like I don't know how to get anthrax powders. So.
Yeah. And what's even more confusing is I thought anthrax was really contagious. So mm-hmm. someone inhales the powder and then they're now a disease vector. They can now cough on other people.
I think so.
I don't know how that works.
If you know how to mail diseases, we would love to know. contact at timevetsout.com. I would sneeze. You would do the park jump. I would sneeze. Those are the two. I think those are the two best ways to mail diseases.
Yeah,
personally. Do you want to do some Reddits? I have a lot today. I have a lot of Reddits.
Sure, let's do one.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. First one comes from Couchlicker 9. This is a real person's name on Reddit. And the question is, when did you realize your "it's not a phase" was actually a phase?
Okay.
And then alternately, I want to know, when did you realize your "it's not a phase" was actually not a phase at all? It was actually what you're doing. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Does that make sense? Did you have phases growing up?
Yeah, of course.
I didn't really have any phases.
Well, the one I can think of is I had an anime phase.
Did you?
I think I liked anime for a time.
You think you liked anime? I liked anime, too.
But the thing is, even when I used to like anime, there was only a few that I liked.
Yeah, you didn't really like it a lot. You liked specific ones, and you were like, I don't like the rest of it or whatever.
Yeah.
Because we both had a phase where we were really into, like, four animes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was only, it was not like all of them. It was like four.
You know? Yeah. And they were all old time we saw them. We weren't, right. You know, they have those websites where there's different seasons of anime that get released every year.
Yeah.
We never did like that.
No. So, I mean, I wouldn't call that a phase for you, but maybe it was a phase. I wouldn't call that a phase for me, but maybe it was a phase for you. I don't know. Maybe you got into it more than I did.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know.
Did you have any other phases?
I can't think of any.
There's a really loud bird in the background of your recording.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I like it. I'm enjoying it. It's like he's serenading our podcast.
Yes.
The bird cast.
Yes, he's outside just screaming about how beautiful he is. And
he is. I wish I could be a bird sometimes.
Me too.
Very reason. But I feel like birds are too stupid for me to want to be them. But back to the phase thing. Do you think I had any phases? Because I try to think back of this a lot. Not a lot, but whenever it's brought up. And I'm trying to think of like, oh, did I have a phase? Was there a phase I went through? And I can't think of any phases that I had.
Actually, you had a funny phase.
Tell me. I want to know.
You had a bucket hat phase.
A bucket hat phase?
Do you remember your bucket hats?
No. What does that mean?
It's a particular type of hat. It's like similar to a safari hat.
Uh-huh. I'm going to Google this right now. Keep talking.
Do it. I'm sure you'll remember when you see a picture.
Oh, yeah!
But you had a phase where you wouldn't go anywhere without wearing one of these hats.
Did I really have this thing?
Yeah, and yours was reversible. It was like green on one side and orange on the other.
Yes, I remember this thing. Yeah, I remember. Was that a phase that I went through?
I haven't seen you in one since, so...
I mean, I definitely haven't worn a bucket hat in a while. That was a very 90s thing,
yeah.
Like early 2000s thing to do. I do remember my bucket hat. It was kind of like camo colored, like a beige green kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. See, this is the last thing I would have assumed would be a phase for me, but I guess I had a bucket hat phase.
We also had like a extreme scooter phase.
Yes, that's true. I forgot about that. That is my favorite phase.
Yeah.
I've had. And I have only had two, apparently, bucket hat and extreme scooter. But that was a good phase. I am not going to lie. That was a fun phase. Back in like 2000, what? One, two. I mean, it was a while ago, right?
Yeah.
Maybe even early, maybe 99. There was, scooters were like the thing to get as kids.
Yeah.
And the Razor, that was the one to get. Remember that one?
Yeah.
And my parents wouldn't get me that because they're too expensive. They got me like an off-brand.
Yeah, we both got knockoff Razor scooters.
Mine was green, I remember it.
Yeah.
And then we like tried to be really good at scooters for, I don't know, a few months. It was a very short phase, I feel like, but
yeah,
it was fun.
Because the thing about scooters is they're like a skateboard, but a little worse in every way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's only so much you can do on them, I feel like.
Yeah, there really are. And I think this is the thing that I've realized about myself as I've aged. It's when I, like, find new things, I want to be, like, I want to really fast reach, like, competency in that thing so I can start inventing new things that you can do with that thing.
Right.
But that's really hard to do in most everything in life. Yeah. Right? But, like, scooters, you can, like, fake being really good at scooters. And then you can, yeah, like, pretend that you're inventing these new scooter techniques because no one cares about scooters. You know what I mean? Like, look at the scooter trick I invented. You know what I mean? Like, oh, great job. You did the scooter trick. It's really stupid, you know?
Yeah, we used to do that. Do you remember the tricks we used to invent?
Oh, I remember them, yeah.
There was one called the, was it the perfect cherry blossom?
It was the cherry blossom, yes. Okay. And you named it, and I don't understand the name to this day. I still don't understand why it's called the cherry blossom. I'm pretty sure you had a phase where you were obsessed with Japanese culture.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you, and cherry blossom's like a big thing in Japan, and it's like, mm-hmm, it's like a kind of a perfect, you know, thing. And you probably were just like, this trick is perfect. Cherry blossom tree. So therefore it's called the cherry blossom. And I think the trick was just like doing a 180 on the
screen. It's, like, yeah, it's all it was.
Nothing. It was like nothing. I think we altered it because a 180 was already a thing. So like you did something cool with your handlebar at the same time to like indicate that, oh, this is a cherry blossom. This isn't a regular 180. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know how to explain it, but like whenever I start something, as a kid, I'd want to like fast track to competency so I could start inventing like tricks or new techniques or whatever.
Yeah.
And it would always fail for me, but it was always a fun thing. Like, it was what I enjoyed the most about being a kid, was pretending I was good at something and inventing new things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. That was a fun thing to do as a kid. I'm trying to think of more examples other than just scooters.
Well, video games are a good example, right?
Yeah, any game we
played.
Really
good example. When you play a game as a kid, you think you're, like, the best. And then this happens to this day if you look on the internet, like on internet of people, like young people playing video games. They're trying to invent all these new techniques you can do in this game. And they're not new. They're not real techniques. But they like enjoy pretending that they are and inventing them and claiming ownership over them. So
yeah,
like, for example, you know, if you play like Mario Kart or Smash Brothers or like any fighting game or any multiplayer, any competitive game, and you have like a thing you do that's like, oh, that worked out really well, then you like pretend it's like something you invented, and then you name it the,
yeah,
whatever.
That's the cherry blossom.
Yeah, that's the cherry blossom technique. Oh, did you see me cherry blossom that guy? That was really good, you know. And like, it's something you do as a kid. It's fun. But I don't know. Yeah, I can't think of any other phases that I went through. I mean, I probably went through a lot of like mini phases, like you said, like scooters and anime and blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had, like, a long, like, oh, this is my emo phase or whatever, you know, like, for a year or anything. It was always, like, micro things for me. I don't know
about you. Yeah, because, you know, I lose interest really fast in things.
Me too. Yeah, I do too. Did you have any phases that, well, not phases, did you have anything that people told you was a phase and it turned out not to be a phase? Like, it's just something you continue to do
with your life? Sure that I did. I don't have any, but I've always liked tattoos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not a phase because you didn't get a tattoo.
That's
mine
true.
Was when I went to college, I grew my hair out because I wasn't allowed to have long hair in high school. And my parents were like, that's a phase, that's a phase, that's a phase. 12 years later, still have long hair to this day.
You so still haven't sold out.
Clearly, that wasn't a phase, mom and dad. That's a real thing. That's who I am. It's part of my identity.
Yeah, you've had long hair for longer than I ever did at this point.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we both used to have long hair?
Oh, yeah. I grew my hair out because, well, not because of you, but you were one of the inspiring factors, right? It's like, oh, right.
I think it was similar reasons, too, because, you know, I wasn't allowed to have long hair back in school, too. And, you know, if you're told that, your instant thing once you get out of school is like, yeah.
You're like, I'm getting long hair immediately. Yeah. And then you do that. No. Yeah. But I think you started it first, and then I was like, that's cool. And then I started doing it. And then I just never stopped. And you, like, you've gone through a lot of different styles over the years. I just kept, like, I was like, oh, no, I'll still have long hair. I don't know. I enjoy having long hair a lot. I don't know why. I've thought about this a lot because people ask me this frequently. Like, how long have you been growing out? Why do you have long hair? Blah, 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 blah. And it's, I have a very weird reason.
What's your reason?
And my reason is, this is going to sound really bad, but it's fine. So, like, I don't like to judge people based on their appearances. Like, I just don't. I like to, like, you know, get to know them a little first before I jump to conclusions. And I don't like it when other people judge other people based on appearances, like, at all.
Right.
And so, like, I realize over the course of my life that I've been judged based on outward appearances well before I had long hair. Like, growing up, I was, like, you know, maybe I looked like a nerd or whatever. You know, I was judged because of that or for 10 other, you know, 20 other different reasons, right, outwardly. And I realized, like, the people that judge me about that, they're not worth my time. And they might try to be your friend later, but then you later realize, like, oh, they're not. They were never worth your time because you were judged early on. So, like, I feel like having long hair is kind of like a rebellion against that, right? It's like, it's kind of weeding out the people that aren't worth your time, like, right out of the gate. You know what I mean? Because, like, the people that are like, oh, this guy's long hair, he might be, like, a biker or something. You know what I mean?
He might be a hippie. He might
something.
Be
I don't know. A hippie, yeah. And they're like, I'm not going to talk to him or whatever. It's like, good. That's one less relationship I have to think about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just, like, makes it easier for me to just be like, oh, here we go. It's receptive. And I think it's a rebellion thing. Like, it's just, it's my way of, it's my one thing I do that's socially, like, different than the rest of society, you know.
Yeah, I like even it. Though, I really like even, long hair.
Even though I have one, like, it's not a big thing, and it's one thing, but it's like, well, at least I have one thing that I'm not the same as everyone else, as, you know. Okay. That's my reasoning, I guess.
I think it's a good reason, actually.
Yeah, so, anyway, let's do another trivia.
All right, trivia question number 2 is about history.
I love history.
What will be your lifeline?
I'm going to use Monty Hall.
Okay. This question is a today in history type question.
All right. Later. So,
Nicolas Jacques Pelletier, a blank, was the first person to be executed by guillotine today in 1792.
Okay.
So what was he? Was he a politician? B, a banker, C, a thief, or D, a murderer?
What year was this?
1792.
The first person to be executed by guillotine?
Yes.
Really? It was that late? I feel like it was earlier than that. That someone got executed by guillotine. But I guess they just did a lot in the 1800s. They did a lot of guillotine.
Yeah.
They started with this guy, and they're like, that was fun. Let's do that 100 more times.
Like 100 million more times.
Right. So, banker, politician, murderer, or what? Thief?
Or thief.
So the guillotine, I feel like, is like very related to like the French Revolution.
Yes.
And that's very political. So my gut is like politician. But I don't know if they would do the first one on a politician. I feel like they'd do the first one on like a murderer, like a real bad person, you know.
Right.
Thief seems like a little harsh for a thief. Like, oh, I stole some bread. Chopping your head off, you know. Banker seems a little harsh, too. Because it's like, I stole some money. It's like, okay. Great. Now we're chopping your head off. I'm going to lock in banker.
Okay.
And use money haul.
It is either B, a banker, or C, a thief.
What? Really?
Yes.
Oh, those are so not good, though.
Yeah.
Like, what did he steal? Like, the queen's jewelry or something? I don't know. What do you steal to be guillotined?
That's
a lot
of thieving. Yeah, it seems pretty harsh. Yeah,
that's a lot of thieving. Banker, what could they have done to deserve guillotine? Okay. So, they bank... They take all the money from the people, and then they, like, run away, and they take it all from themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they're caught, and they're like, you're running off with everyone's money. And he's like, you got me. And they're like, chopping your head off.
We've got this cool new thing that you pull a lever.
We've got this cool new device to kill you, and we're going to test it on you. And he's like, no. And they're like, yep. So, I feel like that's thief is, it's the same crime. It's both stealing. But, like, thief, like, what are you going to steal that's, like, worth guillotining, you know? Banker could steal, like, thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. And then everyone would be mad at him because he stole all their money. And that, and there could be a mob, and they could be like, guillotine him, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think my final answer is going to be banker.
Your final answer?
Yeah.
Okay, you are incorrect.
Damn it. So what did he steal?
I think it was a wallet.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
They guillotined the first man for a wallet.
I think there was like there was a little bit of an assault too.
It doesn't. That's really harsh.
Yeah, he got it bad.
Imagine if we guillotined everyone that stole a wallet today. Like we'd guillotine everyone, people left and right.
It's kind of funny how, like, you had narrowed it down to banker and a thief, though, where, mm-hmm. you know, a banker and a thief, they were doing the same thing in your example, mm-hmm. but since a banker can steal so much more than just a common thief, you went with that mm-hmm. one.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how, like, the people that steal the most never get the guillotine?
Right? Like, if anyone that stole should get the guillotine, it's that one. It's the banker guy. Not
yeah.
the guy that stole a wallet. It doesn't make any sense. Did the wallet have, like, $1 million in it or something?
It probably didn't have any money in it.
It was probably stolen from, like, a nobleman. Right?
Right.
And he's yeah. like, how dare... What was the guy's name?
Nicholas.
How dare Nicholas steal from me? And he's like, he deserves to be killed. And they're like, sir, we have this new fancy killing device. And he's like, perfect, put him to the guillotine.
Yeah, put it in the town square and let me pull the lever.
Let everyone see his head roll off the thing. Yeah. And then everyone probably saw it and liked it so much.
And they were like, wow, that's this really is the cool. best
invention. And then France got really obsessed with the guillotine and they're like, we're going to yeah. do this all the time.
Yeah, this is and the then, greatest thing ever.
And for 100 years... That was their, like, football over there in France.
Yeah.
Right? It was, like, the event. It was, like, someone's getting guillotined. Awesome. Let's go look. Let's go watch.
Yeah. Bring the kids.
Yeah. Do you think they had, like, they had crowds, you know, when people got guillotined, like, in Paris or whatever, or anywhere mm-hmm. in France. Do you think there was, like, a guy, like, you know how, like, today when there's, like, sporting events, there's always people that are, like, really into it, and they, like, have, like, a fantasy bracket, and they have, like, stats and stuff. Do you think there was a guy for, like, the guillotine for that?
Oh, you know there I mean? Had to be, like, a bookie?
Yeah. For the guillotine. Or a guy who would keep track of, like which executioner has killed the most people from the guillotine. And, like, whose head has rolled the farthest out of the basket or whatever, you know?
People bet on all kind of stuff. I bet you they did bet on stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, take your bets. How far will his head roll?
How fast will his body limp after his head falls off? You know,
it's like, oh well, this guy lost all of his hair, so it's more aerodynamic, so it'll probably roll farther.
Like, he's like gauging the wind, and he's like, oh, which direction will it roll off or whatever?
Like, licks his finger. He's like,
It's coming. It's a northwest breeze today. I feel like that means this. I don't know. I feel like there could be a guillotine, like, aficionado back then.
Yeah, there had to be a whole culture, like, around this. Like, you know, at other sports events, you have, you know, your food trucks.
I bet they sold food at the guillotining.
Yeah, come and get your hot pretzels and bratwurst or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, it was an event for people to be executed, public executions. It was a fun thing. Isn't it so weird that was only like 300 years ago? Like, not even. Like, 300 years ago, we as a society were like gathering around town squares and watching people's heads get chopped. Yeah. How bizarre is that, you know? It's so bizarre. That happened today.
Like, that's not a long time ago.
No, it's really not. There's not a lot of buffer between chopping people's heads off and today, you know? So I guess we've advanced as a society a lot in the last 300 years or whatever. What is the worst thing that's ever happened on your birthday? I've already told the story of mine, and I can tell it again if you really want me to.
What was yours? I don't remember.
I killed an owl with my car.
Oh, that's terrible. I remember that.
Yep. Ran it over. It flew right in front of my car, and I hit it, and it died.
Did it, like, drag with the car?
Yeah, it got stuck in the grill.
It's the worst omen.
I think I was turning, like, it wasn't 21, it was like 20 or 19. Like, it was one of those birthdays, you know. Like, it was a bad omen.
That's terrible.
That, you know, I feel like, now that I think about it, like, if there's like one turning point in my life where it's really started going downhill, it's right there. That owl death.
Yeah,
it was all downhill from there.
It's like a butterfly effect. It just messed everything up.
I was really depressed up to that. I was depressed for a while.
I would be too. That's an owl, you know?
Because owls are like cool, majestic creatures, and they're really smart. And that really fucked me up.
Yeah, you never even really see an owl out in nature.
No, they're too
elusive.
And it was like, it wasn't a baby, but it was like, it wasn't full grown. And I think it wasn't full grown because it was flying around at like 5, 6 p.m. Like, it was kind of twilight hour, you know?
Right.
Dusk or whatever you want to call it. And, it was still flying around, and you don't really see him that often. And I think it wasn't an adult, so it was like flying stupidly or whatever, and I killed it. Yeah.
That is a really bad story.
That really messed me up now that I think about it. Like, I haven't really thought about it in a while, but looking back, I feel like that's probably given me some psychological trauma from that. Yeah,
it would for me too. Yeah. I don't think I've had anything that bad happen on my birthday.
Well, good.
Certainly nothing that can compete with that.
I'm glad you haven't killed any owls on your birthday. That's a good thing. I would recommend not killing any owls on your birthday in the future, because they are fun, majestic creatures that are intelligent and can turn their head around all the way because it's cool. Have you ever woke up in the middle of a dream and the dream was so interesting that you wanted to go back to sleep to see the end of it?
All the time.
This happens to me, like, all the time, too. Like, literally every week, at least, probably. I always forget my dreams, though. Like, I'll be like, that was really cool, and then I'll, like, wake up, and then I'll just forget it immediately. Yeah. Do you have any that you, like, remember specifically?
Offhand, no. But I do know that something that I usually do is, if I was having a really cool dream, I will lay back down for 10 minutes and just try to imagine what the conclusion would have been.
Yeah, me too. Because I want to know how it ends. Yeah. And I always wake up at the worst parts of dreams. To be like, oh, it was just getting interesting or whatever. I've wanted to do this for a while, but I haven't done it. I don't know why. Is keep like a dream journal, you know?
Right.
Is so when you wake up from a really cool dream, immediately you write down what happened in the dream. Because even if you lose the page, I feel like telling the story of your dream kind of like cements it in your mind as something you remember. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it would help. There's something I did for a while where there was this anonymous message board, and one of the threads was people would post their dreams. And the idea is that since it's anonymous, you can't go back and look at your posts. It's just like this sea of dreams in this thread.
That's cool. It's anonymous too. That's so neat.
Yeah, so you could go back and like over the years you could see, oh, did I write this? Did I dream this?
Was this me?
Was this someone else?
Cool. That's such a cool idea. Do you still do it?
Not anymore, but I did for a while.
That's a really cool idea. I have a few dreams that like pop, like I remember vividly. And I think the reason is because I told people these dreams after the fact. The most recent one was a few years ago. I was working at a contractor, as a contractor at a company. And I was on a year contract, right? And the year was ending. And, like, my contract term was ending. Mm-hmm. And I was working with, like, I don't know, a dozen other contract folks at this company that were also on year contracts. But I was the first one to go, right? I was the first one to be leaving. And everyone that was a contractor was kind of, like, there's a chance that the company, like, renews your contract or whatever. But it's not a guaranteed, right? So, you know, a lot of people were coming to the end of theirs and they were worried, like, oh, I wonder if they're going to renew me or wonder if they're going to renew me.
Right.
And I was coming to the end of mine, and I was the first one out of the contractors to go. And like a month before, I had this weird dream. and the dream was very, like, it was thematically similar to my situation, but it had nothing to do with it. So like in the dream, I work for the same company, and this company is a software company. But in the dream, it wasn't. In the dream, the company was a deep sea animal retrieval company. I don't know how to describe it. So basically, what the company did is they like had divers go out in the ocean, right? And they would like catch fish underwater, or like eels or whatever, and bring them back up to the surface, and then send them to a lab. And then that lab would, like, process them and, like, extract some, like, genetic material used for some other, like, pharmaceutical thing or something like that, right? And there was this one eel, and it was called the vampire eel. And I remember this. Okay. And the vampire eel had, like, really blown up as a species over the last few years. Like, it was everywhere. And the problem with the vampire eel is if it bit you, you would die in like 24 hours, okay? Mm-hmm. Like it would cause like this reaction in you and you would die. And so we were going down as like the company was go down there and find a vampire eel, take it alive and bring it up, and then we'll extract like the antivenom and like make a lot of this antivenom, right?
Right.
And it's like, but the only way you could do it, because this is dream logic, is like you can only make antivenom when you get a vampire eel. Like, you can't artificially make it. You can only get it from a vampire eel.
I mean, that's so, real, too, because even real snake antivenom, you have to have real snakes to get it.
Oh, okay. It so can't there you be go. Synthesized. So my job, along with all the other contractors at the software company, instead of doing software, we were hunting for vampire eels.
Yes.
Okay. So, like, we go on the boat, and, like, my manager at the company is, like, the leader of the vampire eel, yeah, like, hunter team. He didn't go in the water, but he, like, told us, like, we were on this, like, big science vessel, and it had, like, a glass bottom so we could, like, see into the water or whatever.
Right.
And I remember he was saying this big speech of, like, you know, we really need to find, like, a dozen eels today at least, and bring them back, and, you know, we need to get those antivenoms happening. So he, like, we get to the stop, and he's like, go, go, team, go. And so, like, we all put our scuba equipment on and do, like, the scuba diver, like, fall down into the water or whatever. And we find some vampire eels. And I don't know, we got, like, 10 or so, and we bring them back up, and, you know, we put them in, like, the bin, the vampire eel bin. And then we're about to, like, we're turning around so that we could, like, go back to shore.
Right.
And we have like a debriefing about the eel hunt that we just went on, and the manager comes back to everyone and he's like, great job team, we almost met our goal with vampire eels. We didn't quite hit it, but we got really close. You guys have done a great job. I'm so glad that you guys have been working for us for this past year or whatever. Unfortunately, one of you guys' contract has come to an end. And, like, he, like, looks at me, and everyone, like, looks at me because they know I'm, like, at the end of my rope. Like, I'm about to get let go or whatever for my contract. And he's like, sorry, Chris, we're letting you go. We're not going to renew you. And I, like, sigh. And then he hits a button on the boat, and my seat, like, opens up, and I get sucked down into the water.
And they just leave you there?
In the ocean, and they just drive away.
Oh.
And there's a little more to the dream than this, because I'm not in the dream anymore, okay, at this point. Like, this is where my like conscious part of the dream ends, like my point of view ends. But I remember the last thing I remember is getting sucked into the water, and immediately as I get sucked in, a vampire comes up and bites me on the arm.
Oh no.
Right? And then, like, I go unconscious or whatever. And the last part of the dream I remember is some of the contractors, like, huddled together as they're driving back to shore. And they're like, we have to go down and get a vampire eel and, like, extract the venom on our own so that we can save Chris's life. And, like, that's where the dream ends.
That's such a cool story.
And that's, like... And then I woke up, like, my alarm rang or something, right when that they were hatching the plan to, like, save me from the vampire eel.
Yeah, what a cliffhanger. Like, are they going to save you?
Did I die? I don't know what happened. You know?
Here's what I think should happen. I think that all your contractor buddies should mutiny, take control of that ship, drive back and save you with their anti-venom.
Uh-huh.
And then take you home. And they throw the manager out of the boat, and then now it's their boat.
Oh, God.
And you guys form, like, a permanent establishment aboard the ship. Like, it's your ship now.
Oh, we're like a co-op now.
Yeah.
Like a vampire eel hunting co-op. Yeah. So that was the dream that I had. And the reason I told, like, the preface to the story is because I feel like that dream is relevant to, like, what was going on in my life with that job right now, because I was afraid I was going to get let go or whatever.
Yeah. And kind of being let go gives you that feeling of being lost at sea.
Exactly.
So that was the most recent. That was, like, 3 years ago or something. I was working for a company. But, yeah. That was my most recent... weird dream that I remember.
That was a really good one. My dreams are like that too, where there are kind of themes that are going on in my life that happen, mm-hmm. but usually there's a lot of fantasy too.
Yeah.
A lot of metaphors and stuff.
I think I remember this one because it was so morbid, you know?
Yeah.
It was like very morbid, and it was very, like, it hit home. Like, I could tell, like, most of the time my dreams are more, like, vague about what they're about, you know? But, like, this one was very obviously an allegory for my current situation. You know what I mean? It was, like, very obvious. So that's probably why I remember it so well. But, anyway. Yeah, so dreams are fun. I don't know, they're weird. Do you want to do another trivia, the last final trivia?
All right, your final trivia question. The category is submarines.
I like some. This is kind of relevant to what we were just talking
about. Yeah, it is. Which lifeline will you choose?
I'll do 5 second Google.
Okay. Question is, which submarine completed the first submerged circumnavigation of the globe? And just as a random fact, it happened today in 1960.
Oh, these are all like this day in history questions. Mm-hmm. Which submarine was the first to circumnavigate the globe in 1960?
Yep. Was it A, the USS Triton?
Mm-hmm.
Was it B, the USS Wahoo? Was it C, U-571?
I know that name.
Or was it D, the Red October?
Oh, damn. I know that name, too. I like how you chose two movie titles as the last ones.
Yeah.
Because you knew I would know what they are. I'm like, I know those. Sean Connery was in that movie.
He was
movie.
On one of those.
And then I don't know who was in the other one. U-571. I feel like, I don't know, Harrison Ford was in it. No, that's wrong. I don't remember. Anyway. So it's USS Triton, U-571, Red October, and USS...
Wahoo,
which is a really weird name. All right, I'm going to use my Google, but I'm going to guess before I Google that it's Triton. That sounds the most submarine-like. Like, I know the other two are submarines, but I feel like those are landmine like, you put those there to distract me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You want me to pick U571.
Or Red October because of Sean Connery.
So first submarine to circumnavigate, right?
To circumnavigate the globe.
Okay, got it. I'm ready whenever you want.
Ready. 3, 2, 1, Google.
First sub to circumnavigate. I don't know how to spell circumnavigate. Triton, USS Triton. There we go.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer, yeah.
Okay, you're correct.
I'm correct. Oh, sweet. I misspelled circumnavigate so badly. Like, it's one of those words. Have you ever typing a word and, like, it's going so wrong that you just, like, instead of backspacing, you just keep typing?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I did with circumnavigate. Like, let me... I started strong. I started C-I-R-C-U-M, which is correct. That just circum...
Yeah, you're on track so right. far.
And then I put an S in there. I don't know why I put an S in there, but I did. And then, so I got circums, and then after the S, I have a T. Not really sure why the T is in there either. But we got circumst. It's like I'm almost saying circumcised, but I'm not. It's like circumst. And then I got an N. So we're kind of back on track, right? We got the N.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you're trending towards navigate. So I got circumst. And then instead of the navigate with an A, I put an I.
Navigate.
And then I have N-I-V, which is almost navigate, right? It's niv-a-gate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then I have an A, niva. And then instead of putting gate, I write geet, G-E-T-E. So the whole word is circumstanivigate. But Google knew what I meant, so...
Yeah, I do that too. I'll be typing something wrong into Google, and I'll just press enter because I was like, oh, he'll figure it out.
It would take me longer to backspace, especially in this case. It takes me longer to backspace and type the whole word out than it would just hit enter and then hope for the best, you know? So
yeah, AIs are crazy. They're good at decoding our gibberish. Yeah.
They're really good at some things and really bad at others. But, I mean, that's how it is. Do you want to do a couple more Reddits before the end of the show?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, we have a listener question.
Oh, we should do our listener question. Yeah. Let's do that at the end of the show. All right. What, do you have them up?
Spitfire on Twitter asks...
thank you, Spitfire.
Thank
one
you.
Of our best listeners.
He asks, what is your favorite series you're currently watching on Netflix?
I'm between so many series right now on Netflix. I don't know about you.
I've only seen one that I'm really watching recently.
What is that?
Have you seen Queer Eye?
No.
It's really good.
Is it good?
I mean, it's, if you like reality TV, it's good.
So that's yours. All yeah. right. So that I have a couple, like, usually I have a show that I'm like all in on, and I don't really have one right at the moment because I'm like in between stuff. But I'm kind of watching the show called Maniac, and I think I've told you about it. It's kind of good. It's like a weird pharmaceutical psychological thriller.
Okay.
It's weird and good, and it's like on a weird alternate history. And it's good. It's a limited series, so I think it's only 10 episodes long, and I'm like halfway through it. But nice. It's not something I'm like in the mood to watch every single night, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't really have any of those right now. The last one I had for Netflix was a... Dark and Mindhunter. I don't know if you've seen either of those, but those are really good.
I saw Mindhunter. Mindhunter's really good.
Mindhunter's good. Dark is about time travel, and it's made by like Swedish people or something like that. It's really good, too. You would like Dark. So those are my two Netflix recommendations for y'all. Dark and Mindhunter, if you haven't seen those. I think he had a couple more questions, didn't he?
Yeah, the next question is, will VR jobs become a thing? Virtual reality jobs.
That's a great question. I feel like some things you could do in VR for sure. Didn't they have a thing? This is like 10 years ago. But correct me if I'm wrong. Did they have a thing where like a surgeon could like virtually surgery people?
That's the first place my mind went to.
I feel like this is a thing. I remember the technology like 10 years ago. Like a surgeon could be at home and he could grab some joysticks and like a robot would like surgery a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just it's funny that that's the first thing I think of, because, like, why do you need VR for that?
I don't know. Like, if I, like, that would be the last thing I would want someone, like, to do.
How does in VR improve that at all? Like,
all it does is allow the surgeon not to have to, like, come into work. He's like, oh, I'm going to take a sick day. Yeah, I'll just be at home. Oh, you got that 12 o'clock, you know, that heart transplant. He's like, I got that. I got it. I'll do it at home. I'll do it through VR. And then, like, he, like,
do you really
down.
Want that? Do you want your surgeon to be at home
no,
in, like, his pajamas? He's watching Netflix.
He's in his underwear. He's probably got the office on in the background.
Yeah.
And he's just like, got this heart in here. You might spill, like, what if he spills coffee on his crotch during the thing? Like,
he had three beers with lunch.
What if the mailman rings on his doorbell, like, at the same time? He's like, oh, I gotta step out. My package is here. I just got a new GoPro. I gotta sign for it. You know, I'll be right back. Nurse, take over really quick. You know, like, that'd be the last thing I'd want VR for.
Yeah. But, so, how would you feel about a robot operating on you in general?
Bad. I would not want that to happen.
On the one hand, I kind of like the idea of it because it's really precise. On the other hand, I've seen what happens when machines go wrong. Mm-hmm. And in a delicate procedure like surgery, if something bad happens, like,
it's just going to spiral out of control. You're going to die. Like, it's going to spiral out of control. It's going to, like, think your arm is the thing it needs to remove and be like, taking off arm. Have you seen the movie Prometheus?
Yeah.
There's a scene in that movie where she has... This is a spoiler for, like, a six-year-old movie. There's a scene in that movie where the main character has, like, an alien baby growing in her stomach.
Yes.
And she, like, goes to the surgery machine.
Right.
And she punches something in. And the surgery machine is, like... It's, like, detecting anomalous object. And it, like, opens her up. And it, like, grabs the alien baby and, like, takes it out. And then, like, stitches her back up. Like, all on its own. Like, all autonomously.
Yeah, it does an alien cesarean section.
It's wild.
And then
it's one of the,
it's a really crappy part of the movie too, because immediately afterwards she's able to, like, run and do normal things.
Yeah, but it's like it was a very disturbing part of the movie, that scene where she gets the alien cesarean section from the robot computer thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that went well for her, kind of, but. I mean, that's frightening, right? That's very frightening for me. So, no, I don't think I would ever trust a robot with my life like that.
So, maybe in the future, you just, like, walk into a hospital with no employees, you lay down on the table, hit the cesarean button.
You strap in, you take, like, a quick sleep aid or whatever to put you to sleep, and then you go, and then you hit cesarean, please.
It's like a car wash.
People just line up. Yeah, it's just all automated now. It's like a Jiffy Lube. Like, what kind of surgery can we interest you in today? And you're like, I need a cesarean section. They're like, okay. What about you? And he's like, I need my spleen removed. And like, all right, sounds good. We got you.
That'd be hilarious.
That'll be $19.99 plus checks. Do you want the professional or the premium? Liver removal and
express, like, synthetic,
and they're like, we recommend the express for under 20,000 miles, but we recommend the premium for anyone over 20,000 miles. And you're like, I guess I'm old. I'll take the premium one. I don't know of any other things that would be VR worthy though. Like, because what is VR really going to do for jobs? Like, you still have to do it. You just don't have to be there. You know.
Yeah, and I'm trying to imagine a situation where VR actually improves it, because if a VR can do it, why can't you just get a robot to do it at that point?
Or why can't you just go in to do it?
Yeah.
Like, why can't you go there to do it? The only place I could see it is, like, if your work involved being near a volcano for some reason, you know what I mean? You VR into this robot, right? And then you control the robot remotely. And then he does all the robot does all the stuff, and you don't need to be near the volcano. Like, that's where I could see. Or, like, a firefighter, right?
Yeah, I was just about to say that's a good point. Like, hazmat stuff, like radiation cleanup.
VR that, and you have, like, a robot that you're controlling through VR, you know?
Yeah.
That's where I could see it useful. But everything else, like, welder or something, I don't know, or, like,
handyman or a mechanic, like, VR is just going to make that worse, you know?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, in my opinion. I don't know. Or maybe we'll all virtually go to our workplace in VR so we don't have to be in meetings or whatever. We're just, like, there virtually, you know? It's like, oh, it's like in Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yeah, you know? Everybody gets, you know, patches in.
Virtual, I'm uploaded. But at that point, it's like, well, you can just do that with a computer screen. You don't need VR anymore, right?
Yeah.
Like, computer.
All right, next question. Opinion. Does Joe Biden really think he'll get elected after getting the meme treatment?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Joe Biden. He's really old.
Yeah.
You know? And he is kind of a meme at this point. But I feel like we're at the point in society where people are going to vote for memes.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I think it's true.
Yeah, the memes work.
Memes work. People love memes. People love memes a lot. People love them enough to vote for them, like, ironically. Do you remember when there was a Kickstarter for a guy making potato salad, like, 3 years ago? And he got, like, $1 million for this. Do you remember this?
I think I remember, yeah.
There's a guy that was like, I'm going to make potato salad. And he set up a Kickstarter. And he's like, I need these ingredients. Please donate to my Kickstarter. And it took off. It went viral. And he got like $500,000 or something for making potato salad as a joke, right? As a joke. And here's the thing. The campaign succeeded. So all the people that donated, they lost all that money. Like, all that money went to this man. They paid money to be part of a meme, right? They paid money to meme. If they pay money to meme, they'll elect a president for a meme.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Ironically, like, people do things ironically all the time to be part of it, and they'll go great lengths to be ironic. They'll do it for the president. Yeah. 100%.
And since it's the end of the show, I think I can say this. I think most people that are voting now, or at least like a majority, are not voting with what they sincerely believe. I think maybe half of them are voting for the FU factor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the others are just voting for the, you know, I want to participate in the meme, participate in the irony,
yeah,
do whatever. I don't think a lot of people vote sincerely.
Very, very charged opinion on the end of the show. I like how you inserted this into the end.
Yeah.
So it's like no one will ever get to this part. No, but I kind of agree with you. I mean, a lot of people do things for the meme now, or for the FU, like the FU thing, like FU. So, it's a weird and wild world we live in today. It'll be interesting to look back. I'm not going to be alive now, but in like 200 years from now, how they'll like look back on this point of society. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how will they interpret what the hell we were doing?
Yeah. They'll probably have a better understanding than we do.
Right, I'm sure. But like, how will they pass this off as like some weirdo phase that humanity just went through for like 10, 20 years? Or will they be like, this was the meme phase of American history? You know what I mean? What? This is the meme era.
I don't want to be in the meme era.
We're in the meme era right now. You know how we got like the Bronze Age and the Iron Age and like the Industrial Revolution or whatever? We're in the meme age. Great. Right now. That's our age. We're in the meme age. Who's our sponsor today, Bat Sex?
Our sponsor today is Kyle Chili's spicy peanut butter sauce.
When you're in the mood for peanut butter and you want a little zing in it,
choose Kyle Chili's.
Chili's. I don't even know what that is. Remember when you're feeling like a clown?
Do it with a big frown.
Yeah, that's right. Good night, everyone. This has been the Time Bash Show. Have a great day and drive safely.
Bye.
Bye.